Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Early Work, the podcast in which I, Rhys James, chat to performers about the creative writing they did when they were younger, before they were professionals or whatever they do now. Their embarrassing stuff, whether it's short stories, poems, plays, anything like that, song lyrics or stuff like that, anything creative to finally give it the public airing their younger self would have wanted all along. But their older self desperately does not. The more shame they feel about it, the better. And then I read some of mine. I wrote nothing but poetry when I was younger. It was very embarrassing and I leveled the playing field by reading that out. And they judge me as equally as you judge us both. Today's guest is Lolly Adefope. You may know her from Shrill, the American TV show, or you may know her from This Time with Alan Partridge, or At 11ish, the ill-fated, abysmally received ITV2 sketch show that she appeared on with me. We were two of the main parts on At 11ish on ITV2, and every week that garnered very angry tweets from people with dogs as their profile pictures. And we got through that together and now have formed an irreversible bond. You may also know she's a character comedian, Lolly Adefope. You may also know her from stuff like QI. She's appeared on Richard Osman's House of Games, in which she plays the character Richard Osman. She came on today to read out some fan fiction from when she was younger. It wasn't about me, very disappointingly, but it was absolute filth. As ever, if you have any early work yourself, send it to earlyworkpodcast@gmail.com, and I might just read it out in the outro of a future podcast if I believe that it's genuine. Here is the early work of Lolly Adefope. I am joined by Lolly Adefope.
Hello.
Who is a comedian.
Yes.
Character comedian.
Yes.
Which, what do you prefer?
Comedian. But in the brackets. Comedy character comedian.
Right.
And, you know, actress, writer.
Actress?
Yes.
Or actor?
Female actor.
Yeah, there we go. Really make it complicated. You may know Lolly from SoulCycle.
Yes.
Where she goes every day.
Didn't go this morning.
Supposed to go this morning? Didn't
I sneezed.
Go. Have you ever been recognised in a gym capacity?
No, never.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Lolly.
Hiya.
If I were to guess what you were like at school, which I'm going to because it's the first format point of the show, I would say, given that you're very popular and social now, extremely social now, typically I find people who are like that in adult life were the absolute opposite at school. So I'm going to assume you were quiet, reclusive, and just tried to sort of go along, blend in, not really put your head above the parapet when you were at school, because you were just like, oh, just leave it. Just leave it. Just don't let anything. But I don't know. This is only based on what you're like now.
Incorrect.
Were you just like this?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. When I was in primary school, actually, I was quite shy, I think.
Oh, everyone is at primary school,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. I was very, very clever.
Oh, really?
I know a lot of people don't really say that about what they were in school. But in primary school, I was the cleverest kid in school. And that's the truth.
Based on what? SATs results?
No, just my teacher at parents' evening was always like, she's the best, she gets the best scores.
I think you got hustled. I think your teacher says that to everyone to encourage.
No, I don't think so.
Really, you've got to this age.
I remember some...
You're this old. You're nearly 30 and you still believe the lies you're told.
13.
Really 13 and it's... You've got your bat mitzvah coming up.
No, I was so clever in primary school.
What were your best subjects?
Maths.
Maths, primary school maths.
Yeah. And I did Kumon maths, which is like that extracurricular maths thing.
Yes, I remember the
and
logo.
I was very good at that.
Smiley face logo.
Yes, yeah.
And like a hand drawn by a child.
Exactly, yeah.
And did you carry that on into secondary school?
I carried on into secondary school until sort of around the age we're about to talk about, when I kind of forgot about school because I was like, no, I just want to watch TV and pretend I'm in TV shows.
Right.
And so fantasy people.
And what age was that?
That was about 14, 15.
And that's when you started being creative?
Yes, I think so. Well, I guess I was creative like when I was a child, but when I started being like taking myself seriously as an author.
As an author? Oh, so that's what your creativity was. So were you good at English at school?
I was good at English, yeah.
And did your teacher say at Parents' Evening, really. Lolly is the smartest at English that we've ever had?
Well, actually in my AS Parents' Evening, my math teacher said, Lolly's going to get an A or I'll eat my hat. And I got a B.
Oh, God. And did you all sit
dead.
Down for a lovely...
She's dead now.
Oh, no. Hat poisoning.
She's not dead. She might be dead.
Okay. So you were good at English and you were still good at maths.
Yeah.
But at 40, like, that, you were inspired by TV shows.
Well,
that
I just watched a lot of TV and I think that's kind of the age when you're like, what do I actually want to be when I'm older? Like, when you're younger, you think, I want to be an astronaut or whatever. And then at 14 or 15, you start to kind of seriously consider what your future's going to be like.
And what did you want to be? An author?
I wanted to be some kind of writer, yeah. But, like, my wildest dreams were like, oh, yeah, I'll be an actor, but I don't really know how that worked.
Yeah.
That just seems like a ridiculous thing to want to try and do.
Maybe this is wrong, but it felt to me like most people sort of wanted to be an actor when they
were
that age.
Yeah,
just be on TV.
Yeah, it's just like...
Be a star.
Yeah. Not get told off for, like, mucking around.
Yes. Muck about for a job. That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fair enough. So were you performing at school or just writing privately?
I wrote some plays when I was at school.
And then did...
And put
did
them
you do
on.
Them?
Yeah.
Put them on completely extracurricular or as part of, like, drama?
I did drama GCSE, and then my drama teacher, Miss Hennessy, who was amazing, was like, there's this thing called Arts Award, you should do it. It's like an extracurricular, kind of like a good thing for your personal statement, but also just like a fun thing to do. And it had like a list of all the different things. It's kind of like Duke of Edinburgh, I guess, but like an arty one.
Right.
And one of the things that you could do was write a play and put it on. And so I did that, and I put it on with my friends at the talent show.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was there a prize at the talent show?
No, it was just like all years.
Just about doing it.
Yeah.
Taking part.
Yeah.
What was your play about?
My play was about an orphan.
Classic play.
It was so classic. It was like, it was a maybe a sort of 15, 16 year old girl who has been adopted by a sort of 30-year-old man who's quite good looking. Always pictured him to be like quite fit.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like a bit of a rebel and doesn't really know what she's doing and getting into trouble, and he's very calm with her. But it was just like a one-act play, I think, and there's a picture of me in a paddling pool with no water, of course, it's just like on the stage in school.
Right.
But I'm like at a paddling pool and I'm like listening to music, and then my dad comes in and he's like, time to go to school. And I'm like, I don't want to go to school.
I don't want to go to school.
I don't want to go to school. And then it's all just a bit abstract and nothing really makes sense. And then...
Oh, so then it becomes like, does it become like a physical theatre thing?
Sort of, yeah. There was this song that my friend and I used to sing, that you sing in rounds, and it was just like this cool song, kind of like a sea shanty, I guess, but like for teenagers.
For the MTV generation.
Yeah. And so I was like, I'm just going to put that in the play. So we ended the play by four of us like standing still singing it, and it's like in my head like really haunting.
Yeah, but the point is it's absolutely irrelevant to the play.
Yes.
But you just got it in. I mean, that's not different to an Edinburgh show approach.
Totally.
The amount that you just go,
totally.
That's quite good.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't fit, but...
Yeah, in a way it kind of fits.
It's a little aside. Just make it a little aside.
Yeah, that was my debut.
That's what you... That was, and you won Best Newcomer for that. Yeah, famously. 14 years old. Very impressive. I was going to say, like, wouldn't it be creepy if a 30-year-old man wrote a thing about adopting a 15-year-old girl, but wow. Basically that is a lot of films.
Yeah.
There's quite a few of them.
It's sort of Juno, I guess, in a weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of, there's some Woody Allen stuff. Anyway, got that. So 14, you sort of wanted to be an actor. How old were you when you decided comedy was the thing? Was that
uni? Around the same time.
Oh, was
maybe
it?
Like a couple of years later. I think in my head, acting was being in like comedy TV shows.
Is that because most of what you were watching when you were that age was funny?
Yeah, yeah. I was watching a lot of Trouble.
Yeah,
Channel. Yeah.
Love it.
A lot of Keenan and Kel.
Yeah.
A lot of Nickelodeon. A lot of all that. That was kind of like the thing that I wanted to do, which I guess is like Saturday Night Live for children.
Right. So I don't remember all that.
It was like, it was on Nickelodeon and it was kind of like a cast of 10. Like Keenan Kel?
Keenan Kel.
That's his name.
He's so talented. It seems like there's two of them in it.
Keenan Kel first rose to fame on all that.
Right.
And then he got Keenan Kel.
He got the job of Keenan Kel.
Then he played the role of Keenan Kel and prized that role in Saturday Night Live.
When you were doing stuff at school then, when you were putting on plays and stuff like that, were you just doing it because it was fun and it was just like a laugh and because obviously a teacher had encouraged you to do it? Or were you doing it as a way like of being like, I've got to become popular by some means and I'm not, like, I don't know,
I think the stereotype.
That
I wasn't popular. And I
I don't mean that. I mean, but is this how you became popular because of doing that?
No.
Or you would...
This was sort of my separate thing that nobody actually did.
So you were just cool anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I was cool, but I was definitely popular.
Popular, smart.
Popular, smart, funny, fit. No, I was like the funny one. And I was popular for being funny. And that kind of spans all different groups in school. So the popular kids and the nerdier kids. And
you were loved by
I was the common denominator, yeah. I was quite nerdy.
Groups
in a way.
Together.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was quite nerdy and then I kind of became friends with like the girls who had boyfriends because they were like, she's so funny. Let's have her along.
Oh, right. I see. Okay. But the funniness came first. It wasn't a result of like, I want to get in with them. How can I do it?
No, I think because my brother was very funny.
Right.
So I was always funny.
Was it funny to be in your house when you were younger? Was everyone being funny all the time at home?
Sort of. My parents were quite strict.
Right.
But we kind of had, like, as a family, had our own sense of humour and own, like, private jokes and stuff. And then whenever my friends came over for, like, birthday parties, I would sort of, like, really play up the relationship between me and my mum as like this kind of slapstick like TV show with a live audience.
She won't let me do anything.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm going to do whatever I want, mum.
Love you, mum. Get a load of this.
Don't slam the door. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. And then did you ever get told, stop showing off? Was it those sorts of phrases? That's what I heard a lot when I was younger.
Not really. I don't know why, because I definitely was showing off all the time, but I think my parents just sort of let me do it.
Were your parents encouraging of, like, being creative when you were younger or didn't really have much to do with it? Like, would they come and watch you when you put on a play, for example?
I think they did, yeah. But they weren't like, wow, go after your writing dreams and actor dreams, because I think I had, like, quite an obsessive personality, so I would just write things for my own pleasure and not do any of my work.
Yeah.
And so they were like, well, this is, you're doing too much of this now. The balance isn't right. Whereas if I'd done it like a normal amount, I'm sure they would have been like, yeah, this is great. But I was.
So that's typically what you would do. So other than like, so obviously you wrote this play because it was like an extracurricular thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, you were just writing stuff just for you and not sharing it with other
people.
Yeah.
Like I would write little short stories or like working on my MySpace.
Right.
Bebo.
That's weird because that is a creative endeavor.
Yeah, like editing photos, making them sepia.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah.
Great. Well, the first time I saw sepia, my head fell off.
Yeah.
It was mind blowing.
Yeah.
What time is this photo from? What era has he travelled back to? Oh, yeah, it was madness. So, what writing like your profile on MySpace?
Writing my profile.
Yeah. And what sort of stuff did you have on that profile? Do you have access to that profile?
I've got access to the profile, and I read it the other day, and it's heartbreaking because it's so sweet.
Oh, right.
So, and they don't ask you to write anything.
So it's not like it says, what's your favourite hobby?
None of that.
It's just...
You can just write, like, because lots of people still write fan fiction now, like, very seriously.
Yeah.
So you could just write, like, you know, I'm an accountant, but I like... writing fanfiction in my spare time. I have two kids and a dog, whatever.
Yeah.
But I just made it into what, like, a MySpace profile would be like. So, joined January 6th, 2005. Hey, y'all.
What a start. What a lovely start.
Here's some irrelevant info about little old me. Favourite band, Green Day, Forever.
Well, hang on a second. Stop there. Lolly, I need to ask you a question.
Sure.
Completely unrelated. Who's your favourite band?
Have you heard of a little band called the Green Day?
American Idiot, just a bit, mate. Yes, heard of it. Thank you. Wake
Green
me
Day
up when
forever?
September ends. I'll
well,
tell you
exactly.
that much. Are they still forever? Is that that's presumably not true anymore?
It's not true anymore.
Very
partly
naive.
Though, well, because I saw...
Little old you, so naive.
I saw... Actually, very recently, I saw a thing on Twitter that said that they were charging about £600 for VIP tickets to their shows. Mm. We don't even get to meet them. And I thought...
And that's the reason you didn't buy one?
That's the band that I... That's not the band I knew.
Right, okay. It probably is.
Yeah, to be fair.
That's inflation, though. Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not as big anymore, so they've got to make the money somehow. Favourite artists. So I've separated band
oh, right.
artists.
Yeah.
Alicia Keys, brackets. Yeah, I noticed the contrast too. And Eminem.
No brackets.
No brackets.
No brackets. No, nothing else. Green Day Forever. Alicia Keys, I noticed the contrast too. Eminem.
You
had a rule of
needed.
Three gag in you.
Favourite actor, Adam Sandler, Leonardo DiCaprio.
How do you feel about both of those?
Yeah, still up there.
Still up there?
Adam Sandler, probably my favourite actor, yeah.
Yeah. What's your favourite Adam Sandler performance?
A performance? Just anything from Billy Madison, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Favourite actress, Reese Witherspoon.
I really thought I was going to get a look in there. So disappointing. I thought, oh, this is... Oh, okay. All right. Not the first time I've been shafted.
And the last one, which I think is the funniest. Favourite colours? Black and white.
No nonsense. Black and white, baby. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so for the listener who maybe doesn't know what fanfiction is, what is fanfiction?
Fanfiction is when people write their own versions of television shows that already exist. So they write, like, rather than writing, like, a script for a TV show, they write kind of like a novel.
Right.
They just sort of write their own version of how...
So they take the characters that have already been created
yes.
and then develop their own stories for them.
Yes, exactly. And you can do whatever you want with them.
So what was your what TV show or film were you writing about?
Mine was a show called Everwood, which
okay.
nobody watched.
What was Everwood?
Everwood was, I can't remember what channel it was on, but it was like a sort of family drama about a guy and his dad who moved to a new town and the dad becomes a doctor in the new town and their mum died like a while ago. And so this kid is kind of like a mysterious, kind of cool, emo-y kid.
Yeah.
And then he kind of like, yeah, his relationships with people in school and like the dad's relationship. Because there's another dad in the town who's also a doctor.
Oh, no.
There's a bit of rivalry.
Dad-doctor rivalry. It should be called Dad-doctor.
It should be.
Everyone would watch a show called Dr. Dad. Dr. Dad versus Dr. Dad 2. Okay, so wait, he becomes a doctor.
He's already a doctor.
Oh, but
they move.
Then town. They move.
Yes,
right,
then
right.
he becomes the second, I think, doctor in this town.
This town ain't big enough for two doctors.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of towns have quite a lot of doctors, I suppose.
Yeah, this is
not
a very
that
small
weird.
Town called Everwood.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I apologise. So it's about boy and his dad.
Yeah, the boy's called Ephraim.
Ephraim?
Yeah.
E-P-H-R-A-M. Right.
And I can't remember the actor who played him, but I was obviously obsessed with him for a while.
Have you seen him since?
Haven't seen him in a long time.
No.
Actually, but there was
it
a period of time where
with
I
these
would,
sorts of shows, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm sure it ran for like quite a few seasons and then maybe he did a bit and not really sure anymore. But yeah, I've obviously just fancied this guy. So I was like, well, I'm going to make my own fan fiction. And yeah.
So you wrote loads of... How much were you writing?
I wrote... The chapters were very short. I wrote 11 chapters
right.
of fan fiction. Because people write chapters, not episodes, because it's not really about like the TV world. It's about...
It's more like a novel.
Creativity, yeah.
Right. So it's about Ephraim.
Ephraim, yeah. But because I fancied Ephraim and because I was writing fan fiction, I would always write in a character that's basically for me to live vicariously through. So I'd write in like a new character that was just like me living out my fantasies of like... being an American teen.
Right, okay, with a locker.
Yeah, exactly.
You just wanted a locker.
I just wanted a locker.
Yeah. Fair enough. Would you like to read some of it now?
Would you like me to?
Yes, please.
Okay. So,
chapter...
just for context...
Yeah. Please give us as much context as possible, I think.
So the context is that in the show, because the show came out in America and then came out in the UK, but like 5 seasons behind. And because, as I said, I was obsessed with androgynous names, I wanted to write in a character called Madison, who was basically me.
It sounds like an American high school TV show name.
Exactly. Yeah.
Have you seen The New Kid? Madison?
Chapter one?
Yes, please.
Okay. I called it The Everwood Story.
Very creative.
Chapter one. The doorbell rang. It was movie night at Madison's house. So the whole gang, Sean, Eddie, Bridget, and Madison, were seated around the television. I'll get it. Should I do an American accent?
I think, yeah.
I'll get it, Madison said, leaping up from her cushion to open the door. Ephraim stood in the doorway. He was wearing his usual baggy jeans and a black and white T-shirt under his black zippy. Hey.
What do you mean zippy?
Hoodie. Zip up.
Zip up hoodie, yeah. Right.
Hey, he smiled at her and instantly shoved his hands into his pockets. Hey, you made it. Everybody, you all know Jake. That doesn't really make any sense. I think maybe I changed his name from Jake to Ephraim.
Mid-chapter.
Yeah, maybe I wrote it and then I was like, this should be an Everwood fanfiction instead of a generic.
Right.
So I'll change that. Everybody, you all know Ephraim, she replied, turning to face
American
the others.
American accent, please.
Everybody, you all know Ephraim, she replied, turning to face the others. They waved at Ephraim with friendly faces. When everyone was settled, Madison stood up in front of the television with an armful of DVDs and videos. So, should we pick 2 movies? What do you got? Piped up Eddie. Madison glanced over the films in her arms. Let's see. Dude, Where's My Car? Slap Her, She's French. Jeepers Creepers 2. Billy Madison.
Oh, wow.
Woohoo! Bridget interrupted. Madison pulled out a dusty video cassette from the cabinet and she looked around and whispered, of course, the Blair Witch Project. Woohoo! Bridget interrupted again. I agree, Sean laughed. Definitely Blair Witch. He smiled nervously at Bridget. So I'm sort of setting up a double date situation here. There's some friction between Bridget and Sean.
I see.
The rest of the guys agreed. That is, the rest of the guys who weren't animatedly discussing Simple Plan.
No way does it say that.
In reality, this left only Madison. But what about Slap Her, She's French first? Have you seen that, Bridge? Sean asked. Bridget was caught off guard. No, not yet. Sean grinned. Okay, let's watch that. Again with a shy smiling. Madison sighed as she put the tape in. Was she ever going to get a boyfriend? It wasn't like she wasn't pretty. In fact, although she didn't realise the extent, Madison was probably the prettiest girl in the 10th grade. Ephraim heard her sigh.
God.
He patted the cushion beside her and she walked over to him, smiling. And that's how they stayed for the rest of the night. Bridget fell asleep on Sean's shoulder and Madison, Ephraim and Eddie curled up together on the cushions next to the sofa.
Wow.
That's the end of chapter one.
Wow, chapter one. How exciting. Unbelievable. Okay, a few questions. Love their on cushions.
Yeah. You can picture it, can't you?
Yeah, they're just chilling out on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. It's exactly what you'd expect. Yeah, big throw cushions.
Yeah.
Classic that you've got him in black and white clothes. DVDs and videos.
Dusty videos.
So what are we talking? Is this an era where DVD had just become technology?
I guess it
so
must
it was like,
be, yeah.
Oh, not everything's on DVD yet.
It was sort of, breaking out of the blockbuster era.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's loads of DVDs and videos.
Loads of DVDs and videos.
And you know when someone says, do you want to watch a film to you now?
Yeah.
Right, and they list a few films, right? And then the list ends.
Yeah.
What do you respond with typically? Because I always go, woohoo! Every time someone suggests a film, I say, woohoo.
Well, she was...
Again.
I'm trying to come to the idea that Bridget is sort of a kooky character, you know, kind of an upbeat yes man, I guess.
There's a lot more depth to it than I anticipated. Fair enough. You're doing a lot of setting up.
Yeah,
in this
it's
moment.
The introduction, you know.
And to be honest, it's actually, there's not that much, like, it's not clunky. It doesn't feel
it's
as clunky as an introduction would, of like, and he's like this.
Yeah.
You don't really explain
anything. I'm showing, not telling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you think, you said halfway through, you think that maybe this is just generic fanfiction and then you turned it into...
I feel like maybe I started writing
Everwood.
A story and then I thought, actually, what's going to propel me forward with this is some already pre-written...
Make it marketable.
Yeah.
How can people connect? Okay, fair enough. Can we have chapter two?
Okay, chapter two. Chapter two obviously has the author's note at the beginning about Madison.
Yes.
Madison sat at the kitchen table eating an apple. As she flicked through a random magazine, her mom, Mariah, walked through the door.
Is Mariah a character in Everwood or no? That's an invented character.
I think that's an invented character, yeah. Okay, so this is Madison speaking. How can anybody think that Slipknot are better than Green Day? That's just not right, she joked to her mom. Mariah wasn't paying any attention whatsoever. Huh? What? Madison looked up. Who do you prefer, Green Day or Slipknot? Her mom hesitated. Metallica.
What a twist!
Madison rolled her eyes and laughed. You're just a walking joke book, ain't ya? Mariah came to sit at the table. I have a proposition for you. I'm listening. Madison's mom cleared her throat theatrically. Well, a friend of mine that just moved here needs a babysitter to take care of his daughter. I think she's 9 or 10. You interested? Madison nodded enthusiastically. When do I start? Mariah chuckled. Today, actually. And what time would that be? An address, maybe? Now, Andy wanted you to meet him at this address, Mariah said as she fished out a scrap of paper from her pocket. He wants you to have dinner there and meet the family and stuff, I guess. Right. Ah, well, I guess I better be going. I'll be back around 2 a.m., yeah? Hilarious. Just hilarious, Mariah sighed as Madison left the house with her skateboard.
Weird. Not on. Is that the end of chapter two?
I couldn't ride a skateboard. That's the end of chapter two.
But you were the sort of person who would have a skateboard.
Absolutely,
just
for
show.
I didn't want to get caught out.
Classic bit of old mum chat that you have with your mum about whether she prefers Slipknot or Green Day.
Absolutely.
With a real agenda there, the way you said Green Day.
Yeah, it was in
Green
italics.
Day, yeah, I could tell. That was the most italic sounding thing I'd ever heard in a dramatic
It's always
reading.
A cool mum who's probably wearing high-waisted jeans.
Right.
She's probably about 29.
Yeah. I love it. Metallica, a great reveal.
Yeah.
I like that when she gets offered the job...
Mm-hmm.
Babysitter. So this is a full-time babysitting job.
Yeah, so this is going to be babysitting for Ephraim's little sister.
And sort of, like, pretty constantly, by the sounds of it. Because it's, when do I start? It's quite a weird question to ask. It's like, do you want to babysit tonight?
Yeah. So I guess the idea was that she's sort of sprung this on her daughter and been like, would you be interested in this thing? And she's probably promised the dad that her daughter will do it.
Right.
And hasn't actually checked yet.
And I've got to say, the daughter doesn't react particularly politely. Much as she wants the job, she's a bit arsey at one point.
She doesn't know. I think she's a...
A dress, maybe?
Yeah.
A time,
she's
please?
She's like, you just sprung this on me.
Yeah.
And they have that kind of relationship, you know, it's banter. And I think probably
this
what
I'm doing
like
the relationship
is,
that you said that you fictionalised you having with your own mother.
Yes.
When people came round, which is this back-and-forth sitcom
exactly.
level.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so clearly the inspiration behind this.
I think I'm setting up that Mariah... is probably going to have a thing with Ephraim's dad.
Right.
And so she's just made this promise to him. And she's been like, oh, my daughter, she wants, you know, to link the families together. And then she's sprung this on her daughter, and her daughter's kind of like, I guess I'll do it.
Yeah.
And but she doesn't really mind, but she's kind of
but
like,
this
my
is
crazy mum. Yeah.
This is our way into Ephraim's world, right?
Exactly. It's really good.
I mean, it's good that these are separated out.
Yeah.
And was this popular? Did this do well in the Everwood
popular.
Community?
Maybe I can find the reviews, actually. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be very embarrassing
reviews.
When you find a review, 1 star, and the username is Rhys James.
The most recent review, Ack, what happened to the rest of the chapters? Continue, would you please? Great story so far.
Nice.
Another.
So was there a big gap? Were you leaving big gaps between...
I think that was just at the end. That was someone came in, found it, you know, a year later when I'd moved on.
I see, right. So you, oh, so it doesn't, the story doesn't necessarily conclude with the 10th chapter.
No, I think I just sort of forgot about it.
Oh, I see. So we don't get an ending. Okay.
I think it's got an ending, but it's not the end.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about fanfiction. You can go on forever.
It could last forever. You should bring it back.
Yeah. Please update. I love Bridget. Eight Simple Rules is my favourite show. I got the drawing. Thank you for it. Because in a later chapter...
Excuse me?
In a later chapter, Madison goes to prom. Is it prom? I think it's prom or just some kind of dance. And I wrote, my author's note, I wrote, I've drawn a dress which I think is what she would be wearing to the party. I've designed her a dress. If you want me to email it to you, then let me know. And so a couple of my
yes,
fans...
Yes, please. I need to see this. I can't imagine it.
A couple of my fans did email. They said, I would like to see the photo of the dress, please.
And so you sent emails of a picture of a dress?
Yeah, just a sketch of
now,
the dress.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have been scanning that in those days.
I was scanning it in.
Man, the image of you scanning
paper.
That in. Scanning in this drawing of a dress. What are you doing in there, Lolly? Nothing. Homework. Just maths homework. Was anyone aware of this in your real world?
Yes, because there's one review here that says, wow, cool story, especially the chapter I helped you write. Keep it going.
Dad.
And I don't think that I had any help with it. I think I probably, you know, went to a close friend for some ideas on whether it was good or not. But I don't think, maybe I got some notes.
I mean, that's a bit of a dickhead writer. Message. Yeah, whole thing. Especially the one that I did.
Yeah.
What an arsehole.
Good update. Glad you updated. Hope you can again. No one else is. Don't know why, but glad you are. I'd be dying without it.
Fair enough. I can see why you did it. People really relied on you in those days.
I hope he chooses Madison. I hate Amy. Amy is a real character from the show who I wrote in.
And is Amy a villain in the show?
In the show, not really, but I think I just didn't like her. In the show, she's a bit annoying, but she's kind of fine. I hope he chooses Madison. I hate Amy. Please update soon. I also asked for a sketch of the dress you made, Madison. My email is melonblaster. Doesn't say at.
My email is melonblaster. My email is melonblaster.
Yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. And did you then email melonblaster at every different thing? Melonblaster at Gmail, Hotmail, Tiscali.
Yonder. Please update soon. Are Madison and Ephraim going to have sex?
Oh.
14 years old.
I mean, there's fucking... Fan fiction is just full of horny idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh my gosh, Amy is so mean. The chapters are too short, but I like this story. Update soon.
This is great. I mean, it's going very well for you.
I was actually pretty popular.
Can we have another chapter, maybe from slightly further down the line in the story?
Sure.
We might have to fill in some gaps for us afterwards.
We'll go to the dinner.
And how far are we? What chapter number is this?
This is chapter 5.
Oh, great.
So I think what's happened just before is that Amy's turned up and Madison's been like, we're actually at dinner. And Amy's been like, I'm going to stay.
Okay.
So it's a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Author's note, I am so sorry about the wait, but not going to make excuses. Hey, Camden girl, I'll try and make the chapters longer from now on, or I'll put up more than one at a time. Thanks for all the reviews. Keep them coming. Chapter 5, the dinner. The dining room was quiet. The only sound heard was that of Madison's fork clinking against her plate. Andy tried to break the awkward silence as Ephraim's dad. So, everyone looked up. The sudden word was surprising. You're all in the same class? Yup, said Madison, eyeing Amy suspiciously. Amy smiled smugly. Ephraim sits behind me. Amy smiled sickly sweetly round at everyone. Good for him, Madison muttered sarcastically under her breath. Amy raised her eyebrows. What was that? Idiot says what?
Keep it classic.
Idiot says what is Madison? And then Amy goes, what? And then the Browns, that's Ephraim's family. The Browns, Madison and Nina. Not quite sure who Nina is, actually. Now I'm getting confused. I think maybe I changed my mum's name to Nina.
Right. And her name before was Mariah.
Mariah, yeah. The Browns, Madison and Nina tried to stifle their laughter. 'Cause I remember at this time I was really obsessed with, like, takedowns.
Yeah.
Like, basically what it now is, hey, debate me, and then I'll and then I'll take you down.
Oh, and what? And those idiot says what type stuff?
Yeah, but also just like being a bit sassy and like someone saying like, you're ugly, and then someone being like, well, if I was as ugly as you, I don't think I would be able to get up in the morning or something like that.
Right,
and everyone
being
like, whoa.
Whatever you say.
Yeah. I was really obsessed with like being witty.
I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah, exactly. Madison says, idiot says what? Amy says what? Everyone laughs. Amy shook her head. That's just so immature. What did you call me? That's Madison. Amy looked up slightly nervously. Well, you called me an idiot. Madison smiled. Maybe I didn't make myself clear. What did you call me? So dark. Immature, okay? Immature. Amy glared at Madison, blushing furiously. She was extremely embarrassed. Madison nodded. Just thought I'd make sure. I wanted to know for sure that you, Amy, who came here with some fake story about your boyfriend to try and hit on Ephraim, are calling me, Madison, the one who has been hired as a babysitter, immature.
Okay, right. Stop you there. I know I said before that actually there's not that much setting up an exposition, but that is absolutely obscene.
I think in the previous chapter.
I mean, there's a lot of information that we already know in that.
I know.
Carrot, continue, please.
Nina felt this was the right time to cut in. Maybe you should... Madison got up. You know what? Forget about it. I'm going upstairs to hang out with mature 9-year-old Delia. Author's note, sorry if that's the wrong age. Again, there was silence as Madison left the room. Nina exhaled. Wow, Amy, maybe you better go. Your parents are probably worried about you. Amy looked shocked. But I... Yeah, I think that's best, Ephraim cut in. After all, you've just been through a rough breakup. And you'll probably want to be alone with your thoughts, Andy finished. Amy nodded, trying to come across as if she understood. Oh, okay. She then batted her heavily mascara-laden eyelashes. Ephraim, maybe you could walk me home? Actually, I think I'd better clear the table. Wash the dishes, said Andy. Prepare dessert, said Nina. Ephraim turned to look back at Amy. Sorry. Amy swallowed. Don't worry about it, she said, her voice higher than normal. See you later, Brown, she whispered, giving him the eye.
Ooh, nice cliffhanger. Very sexy.
So yeah,
wow.
I think Amy's turned up and she's been like, I just wanted to talk to Ephraim because I'm really sad about my breakup.
Mm. And Madison's livid. Absolutely livid. Fuming. Now, you were 14.
Yeah.
Probably just getting into makeup.
Probably not even then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you were like observing makeup and
I think
a bit
I was observing
fascinated
makeup.
By it.
Yeah, I probably didn't even know what mascara was.
Heavily mascara-laden eyelashes.
Yeah. I definitely didn't wear mascara until very late on.
Yeah.
Wearing it then.
It's a very weird way to describe anything. I love that he's called Ephraim. Dad? Andy.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Yeah,
Dr. Yeah. Andy. Is it Andy Brown? Are they the Browns?
Yeah, they're the Browns, yeah.
Andy Brown.
Andy Brown, lovely name.
And his name is Andy in the show, presumably.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andy Brown.
I definitely pictured him as the same dad, so.
Would you go to a doctor called Andy Brown?
If he called himself Andy, not sure.
No, he's got to be Dr. Andrew Brown. It's got to be Dr. Andrew Brown. I mean, I've got to score it all now. So
right.
We've not heard all of it, but that's a good taster. So I score it on three categories, and they are originality, the first one.
Right.
I don't know. I've never seen the show. So it's each one's out of 5 and you get a total score out of 15, right?
Okay.
So originality, I think I'm going to... I've never heard anything like this before in my life. I understand this exists.
Yeah.
But based on the reviews you were getting, which were very positive, and a couple of them saying, thank God you're doing this because no one else is, I'm going to give you a 4.
Thank you so
you
much.
You only lose 1 point because you didn't invent a lot of these characters.
Absolutely.
But you gain a point because you keep changing the characters' names. And that's quite an original thing to do in a story. And then the next one is pure teen horniness. Now, for the first one, I was sort of like, it's going to be scored pretty low. It's not, fan fiction I would expect to be a bit
saucy.
Horny and sexually charged, and this wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But then it does start to get into a bit of a romance
it
setting.
It does ramp up.
Yeah,
it really
heats up. Oh, that was spicy at the end, wasn't it?
So.
Exactly. That's only chapter 5, so I'm going to assume it gets pretty horny
she's
stuff.
Giving him the eye, and I'm talking about hitting on.
Yeah, hitting on. Yeah, it's very Americanized, isn't it? So I'll give you four.
Great.
4 pure teen horniness.
Happy with that.
And then the next one is the Mickey Mouse Club / Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score, which is how much does this represent who you became. How much potential does this show for who you now are?
Yeah.
It's not really similar to anything you do now, despite how frankly horny it is.
Sure.
But there's creativity to it, and there was jokes in it.
Yeah.
And you had that rule of three joke on your profile. I think that's humor. I'll give you a three.
Yeah.
I'll give you a three for that.
Cool.
So what's that? How many is that?
11.
What did I give? 11. 11 out of 15. That's a pretty respectable score.
Thank you so
Are you happy
much.
With that?
I'm happy with that. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Now I have to level the playing field by reading an embarrassing thing of my own.
I can't wait.
I was a little bit older than 14 when I wrote this.
This last week.
This is a poem, and it's a shame that we probably can't play in the thing that it was influenced by.
Sure.
But
Well, I know what it's influenced by.
I doubt it. It's quite specific, but we'll see.
Okay.
This is very embarrassing.
Okay,
I don't want to read this. Why do we bother? Why do we bother each other with our reasons and our dreams? We each perceive to be believing in these things we know no means of reality. But brutality is sanity, like Western civilized vanity. Not anarchy, not panicking, just modern familiarity. Disparage me, I need it. But if I need it, we all do. Including you, and don't deny it because you do. And though it's true, I'd like to change so we can move and grow and prove ourselves to who? Ourselves. We need it. But why bother? When we've got another choice to just ignore the moral voice and just consume. When once in a blue moon we might bother, we've got each other to depend on, or a MasterCard to spend on, or a local branch to lend from, so we don't bother.
Wow.
Oh, God.
That was from your last Edinburgh show.
Yeah. Opened and closed with it. Opened and closed with it, baby. I was 17, 2008.
That's really impressive.
No, it's not.
The rhyming, the rhythm.
No. The rhyming, but the rhyme sounded.
I couldn't have done that when I was 17.
Absolutely meaningless.
It is meaningless, but it's impressive.
17-year-old talking about how we've got a MasterCard to lend on or a local branch to lend
from. That's a MasterCard advert.
I've never had a MasterCard, even to this day, and I have never borrowed money from a local branch. Suppose overdraft.
What was the thinking behind it?
I was trying to do, at the very start of Dan Lesak vs. Scroobius Pip's album, there's this Scroobius Pip poet where he's talking about, I ain't going to take it no more. I ain't going to stand idly by with a tut and a sigh while inside we all cry out. I mean, rhythmically, it's a direct attempt to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of this means, but he was talking about stuff like Western values being bad.
When that album came out, I think it was sort of a global moment for people our age.
Yeah, to go, all right.
This is the Bible.
Word. Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, when
what
it was Thou Shalt Always Kill.
Thou Shalt Always Kill.
Yeah. That was mind-blowing to everyone.
That shook the world.
Yeah. It certainly shook our little world,
yeah.
And that was so... That's what inspired me.
Wow.
Was to write this. So, Lolly, I need you to score that poem on the same categories, and they are, first of all, originality.
Originality. You've admitted that you copied it.
Yes.
But I do think that for your age...
17.
It's pretty original.
No, it's 17.
Yeah, 17 is quite old, isn't it?
Yeah.
Billie Eilish is 17. And I love that.
Oh, don't say that.
So I'm going to have to give you a 2.
I think that's generous. Okay. Pure teen horniness.
Pure teen horniness. It's not horny at all.
It's full of rage, though.
I guess horniness.
You could argue that's frustration.
Yeah. That's true. I'll probably give you a 4 for the passion. Because it's passionate.
Yeah, it's heat.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse Club, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Gooskill, how much potential did it show for what I am?
I'm going to give you a 5.
Yeah.
Because it's exactly the same as your material now.
That's what I talk about.
If you said that was from your Edinburgh show, I'd believe you.
Western civilized vanity. That's all I talk about. I know. It's a shame that so many of these, I then did it. I have stopped doing that for the last 2 shows. If you're coming to the tour show, don't expect. Actually, no, wait. Forget it. Just remembered. It's the whole show. So what did you give me? A 5, a 4 and a 2?
5, a 4 and a 2. So you got 11 as well.
11.
Yeah,
so we draw.
Right.
We both win, but we clearly both lose. We're losers. And now, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to have you play us out of the episode with the final chapter you've chosen to read us, which I believe is about the dance, the
big
dance.
The ball.
The ball.
Yes. So yeah, this is chapter 7, The Ball. Author's note. I just realised that I kind of left out some of my other made-up characters, so they feature a bit more in this chapter. Please, please, please keep reviewing. Cameron 12... I can't even read this out.
You have to. I read the MasterCard to lend on.
Wow.
I need it. I need to hear it. Cameron 123...
Please, please, please keep reviewing. Cameron 123 likes reviews very, very much.
Oh, you shouldn't have read it. I wish you hadn't read it. I hated hearing it. I hated hearing it.
I don't know who that is who wrote that. That's not me.
V-E-W-Y. Two W's.
Two W's.
Very
much, exclamation mark. Any ideas, comments or opinions, I love it all.
And I'd say that's changed.
That's changed.
That's changed.
That's not me.
Keep your feedback to yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Madison and Bridget were getting changed into their ball in the small room above the dance hall. The fundraiser had already started, but they had decided to come down the stairs fashionably late. Very chic. So, Maybelline or Revlon? Bridget asked Madison. Madison fluttered her eyelashes, pretending to be a model. Well, which do you recommend? She drawled in a posh voice. Why, Revlon, of course, Bridget giggled. Madison stopped laughing for a moment and looked up thoughtfully. What do you think Amy will be wearing? Do you think maybe she'll go commando? She giggled nervously. Bridget rolled her eyes. Why do you even care? Your dress is totally better than anyone's. But what if Ephraim... Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. What? You totally like Ephraim. Madison looked down. I do not, she said quietly. You so do. This is awesome. Madison laughed in admittance. Oh yeah, well, you totally have the hearts for Sean. Bridget gasped. Shh, someone will hear you. What? Someone will hear you. So what? Bridget now looked anxious. Madison, I really don't want to like him, but I can't help it. He's just so cute and funny and, well, perfect, I guess. Madison looked confused. Am I missing something or what? I don't see the problem. Bridget sighed. Haley. Ah, yes, Madison sighed dramatically. That dreaded girlfriend. Exactly. Madison decided to ponder the matter in a serious light. Well, do you like Haley as a friend? I guess I used to, but recently she's been acting really, really annoying. Bridget grinned. Yeah, she's always, you know, nibbling on Sean's ear in the corridors. And it's obvious that he doesn't like it. Issues of consent. She thinks she's so all that. If you ask me, you're not to blame for anything. I mean, it's obvious that Sean likes you. Bridget perked up. Really? Duh. Bridget and Madison both laughed. Well, that's good to know, especially since Ephraim Brown adores you. Come off it, Bridge. Come off it? He invited you to a ball. This is so Cinderella. Apart from the fact that I'm not a slave with a fairy godmother. What, dog? Whatever. Do you think maybe we should go down now? Sure. And don't worry, Bridge. I have a feeling you and Sean will be very happy tonight. What are you thinking, Madison? Bridget raised her eyebrows. Nothing, Madison replied. Nothing at all. As Madison came down the stairs, the whole of the ballroom turned to look. With her beautiful auburn hair curling on her shoulders, she looked amazing. Author's note, if you want a picture of the dress that I drew for Madison, just send me an email. As Bridget then followed Madison, Sean almost dropped his punch. Go get her, dude, Eddie whispered to Sean. Wow, was all that Sean could manage. Eddie waved his hand in front of Sean's face. I said go get her. Sean sighed and looked down. I can't. It wouldn't be fair on Haley. Dude, Eddie said shocked. It wouldn't be fair on Bridget if he didn't. Haley's not even here, he said, quickly surveying the hall. Too quickly. I guess. Correctamundo, my brother. maybe I should skip ahead. Basically, Madison and Ephraim meet on the dance floor. They're both a bit nervous. Then Damien Rice's The Blower's Daughter came onto the speakers and Ephraim had an idea.
Hopefully we can clear that.
Do you maybe want to dance? Madison smiled. I'd love to. And then I've written the lyrics here. And so it is, just like you said it would. It's a very sad song. Mm-hmm. And then they're dancing. So, you guys having a good time? Eddie's sort of organising Sean and Bridget to kiss. It's a really long chapter. Bridget and Sean flirting. Sean, so, you like Damien Rice? Bridget smiled at him. Mm-hmm, you? Sean grinned. Sure, but My Chemical Romance is more me. Oh, really? She asked playfully. Really, he replied. Then came the awkward silence. Eddie broke it. Sighing, he said, you kids, can't you just get it over and done with? He was about to say more, but the leader of the cheerleading squad caught his attention and he left quickly. Sean turned to look at Bridget. Do you feel like dancing to Damien Rice?
Oh, wow.
Why do I say Damien Rice so many times? She smiled, surprised. What? Sean was disappointed. Well, I guess that's fine if you don't want to. No, Bridget looked deep into his eyes. I do want to. They both smiled and began to dance. So, "Are you all right?" Ephraim asked Madison, who had her head on his shoulder. She sighed in bliss and said, "I'm great." "I'm really glad you came," Ephraim whispered. Madison smiled as their lips moved closer. "I'm pretty glad too." It was the perfect song and the perfect moment. As their lips moved closer, Madison felt the sparks inside her that she knew she only had with Ephraim. Just before their lips touched, "Hey guys, Madison, could I cut in?" It had to be Amy.
Oh, what a ending. What a scoop. Of course it had to be Amy.
Fucking hell, they're about
ruining
to
it just as their lips were about to touch. Unbelievable. What a performance. Just one main note. It's absolutely fascinating to hear the phrase "come off it" in an American accent. Very surprising. Your Britishness really coming through. Come off it. Hey, come off it, dude.
Correctamundo, my brother.
Duh. Nice to hear a duh. Lolly Adefope, thank you very much for coming in and bringing your fan fiction.
Thank you so much.
What an absolute pleasure. A score of 11.
Thank you.
Very respectable. And there you have it. That was Lolly Adefope's early work. An incredible bit of fan fiction. 10 chapters worth. We couldn't get through it all, of course, but she did read it to me afterwards, and it is exactly as you imagine. A lot of correctamundo type stuff throughout. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Check out Lolly on Twitter and Instagram at Lolly Adefope. Go on her MySpace page. You can see if you can get on fanfic.net and find her profile. I don't know what her username is on that, but oh, no, I do. Of course I do. It's Cameron123. Everyone, fanfiction.net, Cameron123, and you can read the whole thing, and you might even find a picture of a dress, which is sort of a normal drawing of a dress. I'm on tour. Come to my tour, reesejames.co.uk for dates. And once again, feel free to send in any stuff that you have, earlyworkpodcast@gmail.com, and I might read it out in future if it lives up to the standard of a guest like Lolly. This episode was sponsored by SoulCycle, MasterCard, and Damien Rice. Thank you for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.